Good evening, church. How's everyone tonight? That's good. You know, I was sitting down there and I was thinking to myself, man, I haven't been up on this stage preaching for a good 2 months now. And it's glad to be back on deck, you know. Hey, before I get stuck into the Word of God, I just want to make a quick announcement. Don't worry, Krupa and I aren't going anywhere. We aren't leaving. As Ben said, Ben and Rach and the lovely two kids, Mia and Thomas, they're moving to the United States Wednesday week. And this coming Sunday, the 5th of August, will be Ben and Rach's last Sunday here. So next Sunday night, we have organized a farewell dinner for that family. And Ben and Rach has poured out so much to this church and into many lives. And me personally as well, you know, I'll miss this wonderful family for 9 months. But I'm excited for what God is doing in their life. And God has opened up an incredible opportunity for them to go to United States Bethel Church, Bethel School of Supernatural Ministries, to do Bible study. And I think it's pretty exciting. So as a token of thanks, we want to take a love offering for Ben and Rach and the family next week. We will have the dinner here, but it's a farewell dinner. Obviously, you won't be charged for it. But I want to encourage you to go home and think and have a prayer this week as to what God would want you to give towards this family. So it's a blessing to give than to receive. Is that right? Amen? So come along next week. Also, Ben will be preaching next Sunday night. It will be his last sermon for this year, till he gets back in May. So come along, he'll be firing some bullets. So it'll be exciting next week. Krupa and I were in India for a month, and it was a bit challenging, you know. It's like a massive cultural shift, you know. I haven't been there in 3 years, and I said to Dad, I'm taking your car for a spin, you know, and I was literally panicking. I had to go to the town, but I turned around, came back home, and I said I did not enjoy it. You know, it's like you have to switch off your Australian brain and switch on your Indian brain, you know. But after a few days, I was fine. And I came back here and a couple of weeks ago, and Krupa and I had to go to Morayfield. And we're just driving, and we're just taking this corner, and I started beeping the horn. And Krupa said, "Mate, what are you doing?" I said, "Oh yeah, I have to switch it off, the Indian brain, the Indian driving brain." So I can assure you my Indian preaching brain is switched off too. I won't be speaking for 1 hour. I'll be back to 20 minutes, so don't worry about it. Hey, we're starting this awesome series called Come Follow Me. And I'm very, very excited to share with you what God has put in my heart. And come follow me. It's talking about discipleship. Jesus said, go and make disciples. He's calling us to be his disciples. And what does the word disciple mean? In Greek translation, the word disciple means mathetes, which means a student, a learner, an apprentice. So when Jesus says, come follow me, be my disciple, he's saying, be his learner, be his apprentice, be my student. To be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus means you are going to be his student. You are going to obey his teachings. You are going to obey his commandments. Steve Urich said this, a true disciple is a Christian who endeavors to submit to the lordship of Christ in every area of his or her life, such as personal goals, example, career, ministry, their desires, their relationships, example, their marriage, partner, and friends, and possessions, for example, their finances. A true disciple will surrender every part and every area of their lives. You know, at the start of Jesus' ministry, it's interesting, one of the first priorities, one of the first things that he did was he went around and formed a small group of disciples, a small group of learners, apprentices, to follow him, to do life with him, so he could teach them his way of life, so that he could teach him the kingdom of heaven. And so that one day these disciples will go on and make fresh new disciples and teach exactly what Jesus taught them and imitate Jesus Christ. You know, I was born and brought up in a Christian family back in India, and at the age of 14, I gave my heart to Jesus. And I was at this massive Christian crusade, and this man was preaching about the second return of Lord Jesus Christ. And it was a fiery message, and I gave my heart to the Lord at the end of it. I put my hand up and said, I want to follow Jesus. I say yes to Jesus. But for many years, I thought following Jesus was some kind of insurance plan where, you know, you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. But I just thought I could do life however I wanted. And, you know, somehow I wanted to sneak into heaven. You know, I just thought, man, Jesus is good for me because I need him for heaven. But I don't want him in this earth. My flesh, my desires, I kept holding on to it. You know, he said he's the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So I needed Jesus to sneak into heaven. And when it came to certain things in my life, when it came to certain areas of my life, I said, Jesus, take your hands off it. I do not want to have you involved in this area of my life. It is my way, not your way. Thank you very much. I'm enjoying this earth, all the pleasures that the world can offer, but I'm happy to take on some of your commandments, not everything. Thank you. I need you to get into heaven. So tonight I want to look into the cost of being a disciple. Now that we have looked at what a disciple means, what does it take to be a disciple? What is the cost? What are we signing up for when we say, yes, Jesus, I want to be your follower? What is this contract that you and I are signing when we say, I want to be an apprentice, a learner of Jesus Christ, a disciple? You know, the good thing with Jesus is there is no such thing as a fine print. There is no such thing as a hidden agenda or a hidden fees. The truth is nice and bold for everyone to see, every human to see. You know, I don't know about you, but I've been trapped in the past. You know, you hear or see something good on the TV, a deal that's too good to be true. And you ring them up and say, man, sign me up for this. This is good. And you sign up. The product comes, happy days. They said $19.99 a month, 8 months, and it's yours. And, you know, you check your bank account. Yep, $19.99, you know, first month, all good. The second month, it's $29.99. I said, that's 10 bucks more. That I did not sign up for that deal. That wasn't part of the contract. And I rang them up and said, well, what about this? Could you please explain this $29.99? I thought we spoke. We had a deal. It's $19.99. And she said to me, did you read the terms and conditions? Did you read the fine print? I said, forget your fine print. Get me out of this one. You should explain to me. The good thing about Jesus is he's upfront with everything. He doesn't say anything in fine print. He doesn't say, come and follow me. It's all going to be a fun and happy journey. And halfway into the journey, he doesn't turn around and say, oh, by the way, guys, I forgot to tell you what the cost is. Did you read the fine print? Did you read the terms and conditions? He's bold about the truth. There is no compromise when it comes to the Word of God. You know, it's interesting, Jesus was at the peak of his ministry. He was at the peak of his popularity, and he decides to talk about the cost of discipleship. And the Bible says many left him because they were unwilling to endure the cost. You know, it fascinates me. You know, you would think, man, that's the last place you want to be talking about the cost. You know, I see many... I'll travel the world. I've seen many churches. You know, you get 500 or 600 people. The last thing people talk about, the pastors talk about, is cost of discipleship. You know, they just think, man, I would preach what you guys want to hear, not what you need to hear. They think, oh, I just want to pamper your little fragile hearts and let you enjoy your reclinable gold-class seats. Jesus was at the peak of his ministry and he says, this is the cost of discipleship. And many left him. You know, they were happy to stay if the conditions were suiting their lifestyle. They were happy to follow him if the terms and conditions were suiting their lifestyle. You know, it was interesting, the success of Jesus' ministry wasn't the amount, the number of followers. His success, his ministry, the ministry success for Jesus was the authenticity, the commitment, the dedication, the resolve, the grit of those who followed him defined success for Jesus' ministry, not the number of followers. So tonight I want to look into Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I'll read that again. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must. He must deny himself. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. He's saying he must. It's a requirement that you must deny yourself and take up your own cross and follow me. He's saying one of the first things you have to do if you choose to follow Jesus is that you must deny yourself. Number one, deny yourself. To be a disciple requires self-denial. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean by denying yourself? Now, I was looking into the story of Peter, Jesus' disciple Peter. Before Jesus was crucified, Jesus said, you will deny me three times. Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said, I do not know this man, number one. Second time, Peter said, I have nothing to do with this man. Third time, when someone said to Peter, this man was with Jesus. And Peter said, I have no idea what you're talking about. Peter denied Jesus three times. I have nothing to do with this man. I do not know this man. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 8, 34, you must deny yourself and take up your own cross. It is you and me saying, I do not know me anymore. It is no longer I no longer live for myself. It is no longer my desire, my will, my plan, my purpose anymore. My old selfish self is crucified with Christ. Now I am a new. My new self is in Christ. I have taken up the yoke of Jesus Christ. I am under the lordship of Jesus Christ. My old self is dead. It's gone. I do not know that man anymore. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is saying, I do not know my old self, that selfish self anymore. My new self belongs to Christ, and he lives in my new self. And Jesus says, you must deny yourself first and take up your cross. The second thing is take up your own cross. If you don't deny yourself, it is impossible to take up your own cross. And what does it mean? What is Jesus talking about when he says, you got to take up your own cross? He's not saying you need to go to Bunnings tomorrow and buy two timber slabs and make a cross out of it, put a wheel at the bottom and just drag it around. Go to your shopping center or go to your work. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's not saying buy a necklace with a cross locket on it. That's not what it's saying. The cross, when Jesus carried the cross, he endured shame. They stripped off his clothes. He endured shame. They made him walk through the streets of Jerusalem. They mocked him. They slapped him. They said, King of the Jews. They spat on him. When Jesus carried the cross, he endured guilt. And Jesus carried the cross. He endured pain and suffering for your sake and my sake. When Jesus carried the cross, He endured death for your sake and my sake. So when Jesus says you must deny yourself and take up your own cross, He's saying, if you decide to be my disciple, if you follow me, if you choose to be my disciple, you have to be prepared to endure shame for my sake. You must be prepared to endure pain and suffering for my sake. You must be prepared to endure death for my sake and for the sake of the gospel. And you know, the interesting thing is, if you don't deny yourself, it is impossible to take up our own cross. Because my old selfish self, my old selfish being would say, forget it. I signed up to come to church on a Sunday. Forget the shame part. Forget the suffering part. I did not sign up for that, for Jesus. That was me. I did not sign up to this. I thought the deal was getting into heaven. If you haven't denied yourself, you cannot do the second part, which is take up your own cross. And Jesus is saying, you cannot be my disciple. There is no compromise. He's saying, following me to be my disciple is not going to be a walk in the park. It's not a stroll in the rose garden for you. You must be prepared to endure everything that I endured, even death. Paul says in Acts chapter 14, 22, through many afflictions, we must enter the kingdom of heaven. You cannot be my disciple if you are willing to take up your cross. You know, there was this recent story back in India, in the northern part of India, in this particular state. This couple with two kids, young kids, they were missionaries there, and the Hindu militants just caught them. And they stripped off their clothes, made them naked, and made them carry their own kids. Walked through the entire village. They said, deny your Jesus. And they didn't deny. We will never deny our Jesus. If you aren't willing to deny yourself, you cannot take up your own cross. It was easy for that man to say, please put that clothes back on. Thank you very much. We can deny Christ. That new self was found in Christ. That's why they could endure it. David Livingstone was a world-renowned doctor and missionary. And by the time he returned to his home country, Scotland, he addressed his students at the Glasgow University. And he said this, the previous 16 years had been spent in the service of God on the continent of Africa. And as he stood before those young men and women, the tremendous price Dr. David Livingstone paid was plain to see. More than 27 fevers had coursed through his veins, leaving his body ravaged. One arm hung useless at his side, the result of being mauled by a lion. The core of his message to those young people was, shall I tell you what sustained me in the midst of the toil, the hardship, and the loneliness of my exile? It was Christ's promise. Behold, I'm with you always. And to the end. You know the story about Graham Staines, the Australian missionary, and his family were in Orissa in India, where Hindu militants are the strongest. Back in the late 1990s, they were in India. One night, Graham Staines and his two sons, Timothy and Philip, 8 and 10 years old, were sleeping in their four-wheel drive, and a crowd of 30 people came in the middle of the night, doused the four-wheel drive with fuel, and burned it. Burned these three alive. And his wife and his daughter still serves as missionaries in Orissa, the same place. If you choose to be his disciple, you have to deny yourself and take up your own cross. There is no fine print. Jesus is not luring anybody to follow him. You must be willing to take up your own cross. To be a disciple requires you to put the kingdom of God above everything. Luke chapter 14, 26, Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. You know, most people don't like this verse. You know, most people don't like their pastors when they preach on it. You know, Jesus isn't saying tonight, you know, get your mom and dad, your wife, your husband, your children, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, come to a conference table and look them in the eye and say, by the way, I'm sorry to tell you, I hate you. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is saying there's nothing on this earth that can come above the kingdom of God. Your personal relationship, your children, your wife, your parents, nothing can come above the kingdom of God. You know, your life no longer revolves around your wife or your children or whatever, your job or your money. If you take up your own cross, if you deny yourself and take up your own cross, if you say yes to be a disciple, your life revolves around God, not your personal life. Are you willing to be his disciple? To be a disciple requires us to count the cost. And Jesus gives us two parables, but I'm only looking at one tonight. It says, Luke chapter 14, 28 to 23, he says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. You know, many people start their Christian journey, you know, they say yes to Jesus, and man, Christ is the best thing I'll come across. I look forward to my journey with the Lord. You know, it's good, man. I'm so excited for you as well. But you know, the reality is, you know, the afflictions come, the pain, the sufferings come along. You know, and they lose their perseverance. And they lose their grit, their resolve. They cannot keep going. They built the foundation, but they did not keep building. And people look at them and say, this guy was talking all about God. This guy put his hand on ministries. How would I come to Jesus if he built his tower? There is a half-hearted coward that's left the building. You know, many Christians follow their calling. They put their hand to ministries, but not everyone finished it well. Because they do not count the cost of being a disciple of Jesus. If I could please get the band to come up, Brad. Thanks. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You know, I want to challenge you tonight. Are you a true disciple of Jesus? Now, there's a story about this great scholar, and someone said, a friend of this scholar said, hey, by the way, so-and-so, I heard so-and-so is your student. And the scholar said, well, he attended my classes, but he was never my student. Are you a true disciple of Jesus? You know, according to the stats, there are more than 70,000 people in Caboolture. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Have you lost your saltiness? You know, the world is sick and tired of half-hearted, fence-riding, saltless Christians. And I was one of those, the coward I was, trying to sneak into heaven and living like something else during the week. Are you a Christian who is trampled by these 70,000 people in Caboolture because you have lost your saltiness? Are you doing church just because somebody says it's good? You must deny yourself and take up your own cross to be his disciple. You know, we're called to bring flavor and guidance to a directionless, lost society, lost world. And you know, it is the authenticity, the Christ-likeness that you and I exhibit determines whether we draw people to Christ or you push people away. Why don't we all stand up tonight? So I want to challenge you tonight. Are you a true disciple of Jesus? Have you lost your saltiness? Tonight, Jesus is calling you, come follow me. He's calling us to be His disciples. You know, you and I get one shot. This earth, one shot. Life is very fragile, like King David says. Very fragile. Like a flower in the field, it withers away. That's how life is. Tonight, make a difference. Make a decision for yourself. Maybe you are here tonight and you never heard Jesus Christ before and you wish to give your life to Jesus. Could I please ask you to raise your hand? Awesome. Could I please ask you to raise your hand if you want to give your life to Jesus? We're going to worship tonight. If we could sing We Say Yes, Brad. That's a lovely song. We Say Yes. We Say Yes to Jesus tonight. Maybe you are here tonight. You have gone cold in your heart towards your love for Jesus. And you want to revive your heart. You want to put a spark in your heart. You want to say, yes, Jesus, I had enough of my cold-hearted Christian life. And I want to say yes to being a disciple of you. I'm willing to obey your command. I'm willing to deny myself today. I'm willing to take up my own cross. I don't want to be trampled by 70,000 people in Caboolture because we have lost our saltiness. Amen. Holy Spirit. If that is you tonight, can I request you to come to the front? I would love to stand with you and pray for you. I'm not preaching here tonight because I'm rostered on or I'm obliged to, my friend. There's brokenness out there. There's suicide out there. There's drug addictions out there. Caboolture has got the most highest postcodes with drug addictions and suicides. Are they trampling us underfoot because we have lost our saltiness? Are you a true disciple? Are we going to worship tonight? If that is you tonight, can I please request you to come forward? I would love, it'd be an honor for me to stand with you and pray for you. I was one of you guys. I was a cold-hearted Christian for years. If that is you, my friend, come to the front. God's calling you out. Come follow me. Amen.